This is with Donna Marie Doherty on Highland Radio. The kids are in charge to explore all things sustainable. Ours to Protect is funded by Commission Amman with a television licence fee and is a partnership between Highland Radio and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland.
Hello and welcome to Ours to Protect. I am your host, Donna Marie Doherty. And this month, we are flipping the switch on the hidden world of energy consumption. So that ranges from the power that we use to make our morning cup of teas to the electricity that charges our phones. We're going to have a look into our daily habits today. Energy sources can be divided into two sections. So that would be renewable and non-renewable. Non-renewables are also called fossil fuels. And here's a quick definition.
Diesel, petrol, gas, and it can't be reused again and you have to top it up.
To tell me more, I spoke to a man called James Garvey. Now, James lives in Donegal, but whenever he's working, he works in different parts of the world in the energy sector and he's a fossil fuel expert. Whenever you listen to the first part of James explaining what fossil fuels are, I want you to think about the word fossil.
My name's James Garvey. I've worked in sustainability for the last 35 years and currently supporting organisations such as the United Nations Environment Programme with their aims of cleaning up fossil fuels in terms of the industry, but also part of helping with the energy transition to cleaner sources of energy.
So fossil fuels, we kind of know that a lot of households in Donegal use them and it kind of can be like things like coal or oil to heat their homes. But I suppose, what does it mean if something is a fossil fuel and where do they come from?
Well, really, fossil fuels have originated from life before. Many millions of years ago, plants and trees were laid down in a similar way that we have forests now. And over millions of years, that has transitioned to oil, gas and coal that we use and see today by pressure from ground above these plants and animals that have converted it into something that's usable today as an energy source.
And I suppose a good example, especially here in Donegal, would be turf, and that's from the bog.
Exactly right. Yeah, so that originates over tens of thousands of years. The coal and oil and gas that we see may have originated over millions of years. So absolutely, the bog and turf that we see today is an example of that process.
But the problem with things like coal and turf we're hearing a lot about is that if it's overused, it's going to run out.
It has its challenges, that's right, because it creates emissions. It's in the case of bogs, it supports wildlife and biodiversity. There are other ways economically that we can look at energy that allow us independence or energy security as a country as well.
And the emissions that come off of burning the likes of turf and coal, can you explain, I suppose, what does it mean? Like, what is an emission and the effects that has on our air that we breathe?
Whenever you burn a fuel for heat, for example, to provide heat for our homes or our factories or fuel for our cars, that combustion process is never kind of completely clean. So you can get particulates, for example, coming off it and other combustion-related products that can go into the air that can then we then breathe and can affect, if too high, our health. Combustion products as well, when we burn them, can also create carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide is the main contributor that we see to global warming, which changes the weather patterns we experience. We're getting more extreme weather, but we're also seeing changes in water levels or rainfall patterns. And that has an effect on us, our lives, and ecosystems or plant life around us.
And if we continue to rely on these fuels, what might that make the country look like in maybe 50 years?
Well, I think it's a collective use across the world, if you like, that's affecting climate change, for example. But if we continue to use fossil fuels locally, then we'll continue to have some of the issues that we've experienced with air quality, which particularly when it's calm, cold nights, for example, when we're using fuels, you can see the smoke, you can see air quality not being as good as it could be. And if we can transition to more renewable sources of energy, we then not only don't emit into the atmosphere, that then creates those health issues, but we also don't create the same emissions that contribute to global warming.
Progress has been made to reduce the emissions that's caused by these fossil fuels. For example, over 10 years ago, smoky coal was first banned in Letterkenny. And I did a little digging and I found this interview that Highland Radio did with Suzanne Bogan. And at the time, she was a council spokesperson. And it was around the time that it had just been introduced. So here's a little listen back. She was speaking to Donal Kavanagh.
The regulation came in early summer of 2013 on the ban on the burning of smoky coal, and it's really been down to, I suppose, householders and the coal retailer. And the council is enforcing and making people aware of the ban, but the actually carrying out of the day-to-day activities are being carried out by the sector and also by householders who are choosing not to burn smoky coal and choosing smokeless fuels.
And there have been some instances where the council has received complaints about domestic homes with smoky chimneys. They are being looked into, but as of yet, no major enforcement issues.
No, we are taking all complaints, whether it's in relation to the coal industry or if it's in relation to householders. And we have received a number of complaints in relation to householders not burning the correct fuel. And we have dealt with these in relation to writing out to people and making them aware of the regulations. And we also are continuing to carry out enforcement and inspection activities on the coal sector as well. And we'll continue to do that through the remainder of the heating season this year.
So that was 12 years ago. And since then, similar rules have come in. That would be like the phasing out of oil and gas burners if you're building a brand new house. And I asked James, if we ban all the fossil fuels, how will people be able to power and heat their homes?
The alternatives in terms of cleaner fuels are, for example, solar power, wind and waves or hydro. They are, in terms of climate change, you might still get emissions from fuels, but they may originate more from plant-based materials. So you might have biogas, for example. You might have biodiesel, which often comes from used vegetable oils that we can then use in our vehicles. They still produce emissions, but they are much better from a climate perspective.
In Donegal, we have a lot of beaches and we're along the coast. Is that good for hydropower?
More for wave power. So there's wave power that could be potentially used. So we're using either waves or the influence of tides. You've got the potential for siting wind turbines offshore as well as onshore. So you can use wind across seas. They're actually much more consistent, more powerful generally as well. So there's a huge potential. Donegal is blessed with potential for renewable energy. We see it in the number of wind turbines we have. Solar power is increasingly used. For example, many farms, you will see solar panels on sheds, other industries, and increasingly on our homes as well. So there is a shift that's happening. In terms of the energy we use and where it's being produced from.
So, just to clarify, the main difference is that hydropower uses directed and often contained energy of river or falling water. And that word contained means that there's something like a dam that's keeping the water in place and kind of controlling where it goes, and that's how they're getting the energy from it. Then wave power uses the natural motion of the ocean surface to make energy. And we're in Donegal and there's loads of beaches and access to the sea, so that's why James says something like that would suit us. I do have to say, though, the young people today are very aware of the need for renewable energy. Here's what some of them had to say.
Switching to sustainable energy sources is probably the number one way in which we can prevent global warming from worsening at the moment.
I do think in our subjects we do learn a lot about it. Like in science, we learn about the different forms of energy, like with wind energy and solar energy, and how they're more beneficial for the environment than burning fossil fuels and stuff. But it is talked about so much in school. So people my age, obviously in school, are much more aware of it because it's constantly talked about. And I do think that is a good thing.
And wind power is also very, very well suited to us here in Donegal. Ben Harkin is the chairperson of Ógrafína Fáil, and he also wrote a book, and that was called A Time Nor Tide, about wind energy. Let's hear what he has to say.
Yeah, I wrote the book Time Nor Tide, Ireland and Climate Change, back during COVID, actually. So that was all about the impact of climate change on Ireland and what Ireland can do about it. And wind energy was a massive part of that there, wind energy is a big part of the energy mix in Ireland, and it's a big part of how we respond to climate change and how we reduce our emissions.
And I suppose for some boys and girls listening, they mightn't necessarily know what wind energy is. They'll see the windmills, but how does that go from just the wind blowing in the sky to being able to put a light on?
Yeah, so all electricity generators work the same way. What happens is that something spins, and that results in magnets spinning around wire, and that creates electricity, and that travels through the wires to your home. So that can be made in all sorts of different ways. In gas turbines, they have heat is generated, and that makes steam, and that turns a motor. Wind energy is different. It uses the power of the wind to turn rotors, and that there turns magnets, which generates the electricity.
And then Ireland would be a good place for that because we do have quite windy weather.
We have, as everyone knows, we have quite windy weather, and a big part of that there is the fact that we're right on the Atlantic. There's nothing between us and an awful lot of ocean. So the wind is hitting us really unobstructed, and so right across, especially our west coast, has massive potential for wind.
And then the wind farms that are built, do they take up a lot of land, and is there any kind of, I suppose, negatives or positives with that?
The wind farms can take up a lot of land. The wind turbines themselves don't take up an awful lot of land, but they have to be spread out, of course, between each other, so that can take up a lot of land. What can happen is, in between the turbines, you can still have maybe agriculture, you can still have animals grazing. In Ireland, we have a lot of forestry as well, particularly within sort of government grounds. We have forestry in between our wind turbines, so that's part of it as well.
So we mentioned that Ben wrote a book and that he's involved in politics. Now, he was only 17 turning 18 whenever he started writing his book, which was very impressive, and it's very young. But it did remind me of these two questions posed by one of the young people I'd spoke to earlier.
How can young people advocate for the introduction of renewable energy in their communities?
And
what role do young people play in influencing energy policy at local or national levels?
So I asked Ben about his own experience.
Before I wrote the book, I had been writing articles myself. You know, I had maybe it was a Substack or a different kind of blog where I wrote articles about some of the facts behind wind energy, some of the facts behind climate change. And that's how I started. You know, it was just one of them things that sort of snowballed into, you know, when you enjoy writing, it sort of resulted in a book then when I had a lot of time on my hands. But and that resulted then in me getting into Leinster House to discuss energy, to discuss wind power and battery energy and all these different kind of things. So you never know where these things might lead you on. And I suppose what I would say is for people to start to follow their interests in climate change, to follow their interests in renewable energy and read a lot about it. And once you start, maybe if you want to write about it, or you can send maybe letters, emails to local politicians, and you never know then where that can take you to.
And then I suppose finally, the question that will maybe come to a lot of people's minds is what happens if it's not windy?
Well, or even if it isn't very windy, you know, if winds are very light, what happens then is that the wind turbines don't run. And that can happen as well, actually, if it's very windy, if it's sort of unsafe for them to run. Okay. And what happens then is we need to make up that difference. So wind energy makes up around a third of our total electricity production. On windy days, it can make up to 60-70% of our wind production. So when we don't have that, we need to make it up through different ways. Sometimes we'll have small bits of solar, we'll have battery, we'll have hydro. But a lot of that there difference will be made up by either taking in electricity from other countries through our interconnectors, these massive wires, or we'll use it through gas plants, turning on gas plants that maybe wouldn't be running if the wind was blowing heavier.
Well, there you go. Maybe everyone relying on one power source isn't the best option for us. Whenever I asked the young people of Donegal for examples of renewable energy, there was definitely one most popular answer.
Solar panels.
Solar energy.
Our school recently got solar panels, and like we placed them on the roof and powers the whole school with solar power. Although here in Ireland, that probably doesn't do much good because we never have any sun, but you know.
It still helps.
Yeah.
And my friend got solar panels.
So in simple terms, solar energy is energy that we get from the sun. And that energy we get to the sun goes on solar panels to make electricity or heat. Our expert on this, his name is Sean Foran. Sean is the programme executive of the Solar PV Scheme with SEAI.
So solar panels are like magic windows that turn sunlight into electricity. They're made of special materials like glass and silicone that catch sunlight and create a flow of tiny particles called electrons. This flow is what we call electricity. And this is then what is used to power your TV, fridges, washing machines, all electric appliances in your home. And more recently, if your family has an electric car, it can use the power generated to charge the car's batteries.
Okay, I just want to come in here because I want to remind you and bring you back to something that we just heard one of our young people say only a wee minute ago.
Although here in Ireland that probably doesn't do much good because we never have any sun.
And that is an excellent point. There isn't much sun in Ireland and it can be quite cloudy. So I asked Sean about it to see what he had to say.
Even on cloudy days, solar power still work, but just not as well. So kind of think of it like wearing sunglasses. The sun is still there. It's just a little bit dimmer. So the panels make less electricity, but they don't stop working completely.
And at night time, do they still work or do they stop?
No, unfortunately, at night time, they do not work. Solar panels do need sunlight to work, so they take a break at night. However, during the day, when they make extra electricity, this can then get stored in batteries that can be used during the night in the house or sent to the grid.
Sometimes whenever we see solar panels on big buildings, there can be many of them. But for a house, how many would you need or what size would you need?
It very much depends on how much electricity the house uses and how many people live there and how they manage their energy use. Most average homes can kind of get along with about 10 to 15 panels on the roof that will cover everything. Lights, fridges, TV, etc. Larger houses will need more and smaller houses less.
It sounds really like this was like a foolproof way to get electricity. Is there a reason that they're not on everything, like cars and planes and I suppose all houses?
Yeah, that's a great question. Solar panels are cool, but they don't make a lot of power in a small space. So cars and planes, they need a lot of energy and solar panels just can't keep up just yet. However, there are some cool solar cars and planes that do exist. They're just not too common. But as the technology advances, however, these may become more common.
And how long would a solar panel last?
Solar panels last a long time, usually 25 to 30 years. After that, they still work, but just not as well. All panels can then be recycled to get all the valuable parts back, like the glass and metal. And they can be then used to make new panels, which is great for the planet as well.
And so what's the coolest thing that you've ever seen done with solar power?
Well, one of the coolest things is the International Space Station is 100% powered by solar.
Oh.
So as that's floating around the planet, they have big solar panels arrays on the space station that will supply 100% of the electrical power used to keep that moving. From our perspective, one of the standout projects that the SEI has been involved with has to be the work done to support the Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind in their decarbonisation journey. It's been a huge success for the charity and has made more funding available for caring for and training the dogs, which are an important addition to the lives of people who avail of the charity's services. The SEI is involved in countless of these types of projects in charities, community groups, sports clubs up and down the country. And they're making a huge difference to the people who use these organisations. So there's a lot of cool stuff happening on the ground.
And I suppose finally, is there a way that the boys or girls at home could make their own solar panels?
Yeah, technically you could. However, it would be very difficult. You would need like glass and metalwork and stuff like that. However, there are many available like small kits that can be bought from electronic or science shops. And these can be used in schools or at home with your parents to to build something to build and then see how solar power works in real time.
That could be a really cool thing to try, make your own solar kit. There is, however, an issue with solar panels, and this can be the cost.
Most people haven't made the switch because it can be very expensive to install. Is there anything being done to promote sustainable energy in the home?
Well, they can't, like, if they're expensive, nobody's going to get them, and then your business wouldn't be getting any money.
Yeah, but you can think about it, like, you either, like, spend quite a bit for this one thing and then, like, you don't have to spend anymore, or you keep spending little by little by little by little on your bills. So it's either, like, keep spending a little bit of money until eventually it all piles up, or just, like, do it then, get it over with, and then no longer have to pay.
There is one man who I knew would be a good person to talk to about this, because there's grants available to get more sustainable fuel systems into houses or to businesses. So I spoke to Councillor Martin Harley, because he is the owner of a pub in Ballybuffet, but he's also the Donegal chairperson of the Vintners Association, and he has some understanding of getting homes retrofitted as his role as a councillor. So in the past, he has urged many business owners and homeowners to see what grants are available to them, and he told me about some of those.
At the moment, through the local enterprise board, there is Green for Business, and there's a grant there available if you're upgrading your coolers and things in the business. So that, I mean, a lot of businesses, especially in the bar game, they would be maybe there for years. So there's an opportunity there of up to 10,000 to upgrade their systems, for their beer cooling systems, for their lighting, for their fridges. And I know it might be an initial extra cost to them, but long term they will save on their electricity bills. So it's a great opportunity for businesses to upgrade the equipment in their premises. And I know myself, as chairperson of the Donegal Vintners, we've been trying to promote it throughout the county, and a number of businesses have taken up on the offer. So
it's important for people to know that there is options there for them. The SCAI as well is also another option. I know that might, I suppose, lean more into housing than business, but I'm pretty sure there is business grants there as well. But it's just a matter of really taking the time to look it up and find the information.
Yeah, there would be opportunities there as well, probably through solar panels and opportunities there if you have enough roof space to do that. And that would probably go good for business and for households as well. So when I know a lot of people have taken up that now, I know probably wearing my other hat as councillor, the changing of going from to air to water, and a lot of the council estates now over the last couple of years, and Donegal is second highest uptake in the country for this, and that through the council. So there's good work being done there by the council on that. So long term, it's going to be a benefit to the houses. I know any new houses that have been built in the last few years, they're all air to water, and when you go into them, they're fantastic, and each room is set at a certain temperature, and that will be the same morning, noon and night, 24/7 for the whole year, like 365. So I mean, it's a fantastic system, and it's definitely savings for the householders as well there.
The air to water system that you heard Councillor Harley talk about is a type of heat pump, and it works like a refrigerator but in reversed. So it extracts heat from the outside air, and then it turns it into water to provide heat and hot water for your home. And it's great to see that Donegal is leading the way in that change. We're also encouraged to try and save electricity, and this is for two reasons. One is to save on the electricity bills, and the other is to save the energy that we've now learned can take so much work to create. And that means there really only is one question left to ask.
What are some practical steps we can take to reduce our energy consumption at home?
Well, if, like, all of us is going, we turn off all of the lights, and we don't turn off the light that's at the door, because we don't turn it on.
I'd be way more mindful of like making sure to turn off like the bathroom light as I'm leaving and stuff, and not charging my phone overnight instead.
Like turn the lights off and all, turn like plugs off and all, like stuff like that.
Those are all excellent, excellent tips. And here are some other ones to go along with it. You can try taking shorter showers, closing the refrigerator, and switching off your appliances properly. So that means taking the plug out and not leaving things on standby, like turning off a TV with just the remote, because that accounts for about 5 to 10% of residential energy use. So it's a lot more than we think. And finally, mind the dishwasher. If you only have two or three things to wash, don't put them into the dishwasher and put it on. If you're able to use the sink, use the sink. And if you do use the dishwasher, make sure that it's filled up to the top before you switch it on. I do want to just go back to one final thing before we finish up for this evening. One other form of fossil fuel that was mentioned was petrol and diesel for our cars. And while I was speaking to a young person for the show, they talked about their perspective of what it's like to travel around Donegal. And it does actually tie in with some exciting news that was received in Letterkenny last week.
At the minute, it's obviously more pricey to get the electric cars, and there's not many stations where you can charge them, but definitely further down the line, it's a good option to have. But the thing with that is we need better ways of producing electricity. While we're not putting out gases while driving the cars, you're still making them by generating electricity for the cars. So it's so at the minute.
So see, like now, going to school, how do you get into school in the morning?
I used to take the car, but now everyone in my house takes the bus to school, which is a lot better, because or even carpooling, like before this we would give our neighbours or our cousins lifts into school, and it's one less car off the road.
And then I suppose if you wanted to, say, go to like the cinema or something at the weekend, and your whoever it is that drives at home wasn't able to take you in, is that automatically, oh right, can't go, or is there ways around it?
There is ways around it, actually. There's a local link bus down at the crossroads. And like just the other day, about a week ago, I went into Derry with my friend and we took the bus in and took the bus back out. So it's definitely better than it used to be, especially with local link. It's connecting to the town and it's very helpful.
So as he said, electric vehicles will be the way forward eventually. There has been a development in Letterkenny in the last week in relation to this, and it is the launch of a new sustainable transport hub, and it's known as the Robust E-Mobility Hub. It opened in Letterkenny, and it's a collaboration between Donegal County Council, the Atlantic Technological University, and other colleges like Trinity were also involved, as well as ESB and Enterprise Car Club. And in Letterkenny, it offers two shared electric vehicles, one e-cargo bike and four e-bikes for the public to use, and you can book them by the day or by the hour. And the hub is one of four that's launching across Ireland this year. So the others are located in Waterford, Galway, Dundrum and Dublin. It's been funded by the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, so the SEAA. Those are the guys that we talked about earlier about the grants. And this is the kind of thing that we're talking about. They do fund things like this here, which can help us become a bit more green, which is great. So the idea is that it will help reduce traffic problems, which there are in Letterkenny, lower the emissions that we heard the young man talk about there, and it's alternatives to having to own your own car. And another part of this is they're going to collect data as well, and that's going to be used to understand travel behaviour and help try and make better decisions going forward when it comes to travel and public transport and what different communities need. Because what we need here in Donegal is going to be very different to what somebody needs in Dublin or in Cork or even in Derry. Time has caught up with us. I'd love to thank my contributors and my helpers for this month's episode. We'll be back again next month for our final episode. I can't believe that. And we'll be talking about sustainable farming. So as always, if you have any queries or you want to send me in a voice for the next show, please send it into donnamarie@highlandradio.com. But till next time, have a good one.
This is with Donnamarie Doherty on Highland Radio. The kids are in charge to explore all things sustainable. Ours to Protect is funded by Commissioner Mann with a television licence fee and is a partnership between Highland Radio and the Independent Broadcasters of Ireland.